Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. Have you ever felt like you lack the faculties and strength to effectively fight your flesh and the sin that so easily entangles you? Sin that seems to have more influence and control in your life than it should? Do you seem to give in more than you must resist? Does it seem like there's no effective resource to depend on because your capacity and abilities have been depleted? Hold on! There is someone that seems to be disregarded, overlooked, ignored, or plumb not thought or talked about, because most look elsewhere but to him. Just so you know, this someone possesses more latitude, magnitude, expanse, and measure than any human could ever possess, and there's no circumstance or condition outside of his expertise. Do you know who I'm talking about? You got your tanks! Let's dive in! This segment is titled Discipleship, the Way of Life, Energia. Over the past several years, I've noticed that God the Father is mentioned occasionally, God the Son is mentioned more frequently, and God the Holy Spirit seems to fall by the wayside, when in actuality, God the Holy Spirit completes more handiwork in and through Jesus' disciples than many would acknowledge or recognize. When you read, study, and meditate on God's Word, you would know and understand God the Holy Spirit is the generating source of the emergence of spiritual power within the new convert and forever. That's the plain old truth. It does make me wonder, though, why? Why isn't God the Holy Spirit mentioned like every day? Is it because they fail to understand the Godhead's role in the salvation plan of humanity? Or is it that God has not illuminated their mind by implanting His Spirit and therefore they really just don't know? The simple truth, it doesn't matter who humanity says God is. All that truly matters is what God says about themselves. Because after all, humanity wonders, speculates, and misconceives. But God knows themselves, and eternally well, I might add. And their knowledge is infinitely more than our finite minds could ever comprehend. That's the plain old truth. One detail you must know for certain. The Holy Spirit is God. Hence, God the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what Jesus says about God the Holy Spirit. And this portion of God's Word is titled, The Holy Spirit Promised, and you can find it in John 16. Listen to Jesus. But now I am going to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, Where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you, and He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. So, what should we glean from Jesus' words? Well, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus and disclose to His disciples their role in the salvation plan of humanity. Jesus must leave this sin-infested snake pit for God the Holy Spirit to come in His place. It's to every disciple's advantage that Jesus goes away. Don't you have the same feeling when your kinfolk leave, especially those you haven't seen in a long while? I know how I feel when my people leave. It may not be sorrow, but surely a feeling of sadness, and they've only been visiting for a few hours or days. These men walk with Jesus for 3 years. They were the recipients of Jesus' one-on-one and group discipling, not to mention all the Spirit's work in and through Jesus that they saw with their own eyes. Oh yes, they are expert witnesses and experience God the Holy Spirit's work and power firsthand. And now Jesus communicates that he is going away? Oh yes, I bet sorrow did fill their hearts. And I think one main reason, and one reason only, that sorrow filled their hearts is they loved him and he was going away. How about you? Do you love him? Because what you love is what fills your heart, saturates your mind, and what comes out of your mouth. So may I ask, what proceeds from your mouth on a daily basis? Now to think, these initial converts have seen God in the flesh. Remember what Jesus said to Philip? You can find it in John 14. Listen to Jesus. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, How have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Sounds like God the Father's role in salvation is working and providing inspiration to Jesus. If Jesus stays, the Holy Spirit will not come. That's the plain old truth. We are saying today, so glad Jesus went. Amen. Yes or no? NGA. And you know the amazing thing about God the Holy Spirit's work. Now we are saying, come back, Jesus. And my fellow disciples, maybe today, praise God, maybe today. Amen. When God the Holy Spirit came, conviction was with him. And his work of conviction is sin and righteousness and judgment. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he will guide you into all truth. Could that be an explanation as to why so many struggle with finding and understanding God's truth? Is it because they seek truth from many other sources rather than from an omniscient God who is truth? Jesus says he will guide you into all the truth. Let me ask you, what is left out of all truth, my fellow disciples? When God says all, he means all, not some truth, most truth, or a lot of truth that you can surely acquire from humanity. No, God says all the truth. God the Holy Spirit will disclose to you. Please don't tell me that's them and not Y-O-U. Aren't you the you Jesus is speaking to here? Or is it them and not you? It's you, my fellow disciples. Y-O-U. Do you believe what Jesus is saying to you in and through his word? Yes or no? N-G-A. Jesus goes on to say, still in John 14, listen, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I thought I heard Jesus say, God the Father in his role of salvation is the giver of the helper. God the Holy Spirit is the another helper forever. Not just today and then leave. No, forever. And do you want to know why God the Holy Spirit is a forever occupant? Listen to what God said through their disciple John in 1 John 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. we know when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. The reason God the Holy Spirit will be in their disciples forever is you cannot be like God without the presence of God the Holy Spirit. And that applies now in the flesh and when you will be in a constant spirit state forever in God's presence. That's the plain old truth. What's the evidence in your life, if tested, that God the Holy Spirit is an occupant, you know, his presence and work, and it's apparent in your life? The simple truth, God's occupational work is in Jesus' disciples only. You heard what Jesus says. Let me read that portion again. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. It sounds like to me, God made you a disciple of Jesus and are chosen and called to receive God the Holy Spirit's occupation and to see him and know him. It's not a choice, my fellow disciples. You do not possess enough wherewithal to grasp it, to see it, because you are dead and in darkness. That's the plain old truth. Remember 1 Peter 2? I love how God affirms his word all over the place. Yes or no, NGA. Here's your proof and the truth. Listen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit whom is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, as 1 Corinthians 2 testifies. Cogitate on this. The spirit of the world is the spirit of the God of this world. That could explain why you're seeing what you're seeing all throughout this sin-infested snake pit, disorder, and every evil thing. Yes or no? So I will ask you straightforward. Do you believe what Jesus is saying? And yes is an easy answer. So, a follow-up question. What's the evidence in your daily walk that proves God the Holy Spirit is living in you and that you believe, other than verbalizing it, that is? And I hope you didn't grimace when I said prove, did you? But here's why I said it. Listen to Jesus. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples, as I quote what Jesus said in John 15. So, any proof and fruit? Now that we've confirmed what Jesus testifies about God the Holy Spirit, and I pray it has brought confirmation for some, clarity for others, and illumination for the rest, I pray your mind is clear as we prepare for this illuminating truth about God the Holy Spirit's evidence and work. I almost want to communicate him to you in a formal introduction, because I feel as though many of you have not been taught of God's miraculous work in and through Jesus' disciples yesterday and today and forever. That's your Hebrews 13:8, in and through God the Holy Spirit. So let's dive into God the Holy Spirit's work. What he achieves, performs, accomplishes, prepares, ensures, and executes every day in every disciple. Amen? I believe one of the numerous attributes of God the Holy Spirit is his power. Hence the title, Energia. Do you think those who murmur and grumble and those who say how hard it is are those who do not have the internal power source produced by God the Holy Spirit's occupation, and they keep trying to live this life that God promises to give to those who believe, which is powered only by his Spirit and his Spirit only? Listen to these testimonies about God the Holy Spirit's work. First stop, This is Elijah's prayer for rain. It had been a drought for 3.5 years because he prayed for it. But I want you to hear what God said about Elijah, and it's in James chapter 5. It's in complete context, so listen. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Did you hear what God says? Confessing your sins to one another and praying for one another results in healing. It's good for your soul to confess individual weaknesses, reluctances, refusals, and resistance, sin in other words, to one another, where celebrated confidence and relationships flourish because of the active involvement in each other's lives, a true model of true discipling. And it does help each other by their sincere prayers. And it's more than just mere words that leads one to forgiveness for their sins and the power to fight against the enticement of them. And an effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. God is saying prayer is an imperative essential in the disciple of Jesus' arsenal. And it's not just any person. It's a righteous person. So may I ask, what establishes one to be righteous? Answer, God the Holy Spirit. Because God says it this way, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, as I quote what God says in 1 John 3. And you gotta believe, if wickedness is in your heart, God will not hear. Go read, study, and meditate on Psalm 66. So may I ask, righteousness comes from God. Well, if the Spirit is living in you, 1 + 1 = 2. Now, listen to this account of God the Holy Spirit's work. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. God is telling us Elijah was born of the seed of Adam and possesses a sin nature as well, just like you, me, and all the rest. And listen to what God did through him, and please do not tell me God has changed. Now, Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. But Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go back 7 times. It came about at the 7th time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. Now, King Ahab had an excellent set of wheels and the fastest thoroughbreds, I guarantee it. I mean, after all, Ahab is the king. Wouldn't you have the fastest one if you were the king or queen? Now listen to this truth of God and the power of God, the Holy Spirit. In a little while, the sky grew black and the clouds in the wind. And there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. God is amazing. And that would be in the physical, a display of God's eternal power carried out in and through humanity. I wonder what Elijah looked like from the side of the road when he went by. Mama, look at that man. He's faster than anything I've ever seen. Now, God doesn't say what kind of horsepower the king had, but chariots were known to have 2, 4, or 6 horse teams. I wonder what King Ahab had. 6, maybe? Do you believe yet what God is testifying about God the Holy Spirit's power? If not, listen. And if you do, praise God and continue to be encouraged that He lives in you. Amen. Listen to this testimony of God regarding God the Holy Spirit's power. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join his chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and a eunuch said, "Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, this is power, my fellow disciples. Listen. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through and kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. The fruit of God, the Holy Spirit's work, is obedience. What did Philip do that was obedient? Well, he listened and moved. He got up and ran. Just imagine the eunuch's face when he witnessed firsthand God's power and was working internally within the eunuch and externally. And the eunuch is an expert witness of God the Holy Spirit's power. I wonder, what was the eunuch's testimony when he returned to Candace? Do you think he just opened his mouth? Have you ever tried that? Not trying to come up with choice words and a whole bunch of stuff and things to say when you're sharing the gospel. Try it. Just open your mouth. God will speak. Do you believe him? Then you have Philip in the water, and then whoosh, lifted immediately. That's harpazo, my fellow disciples. Power. Philip is carried over 17 miles. I wonder if his clothes were dry when he arrived at God's predetermined planned destination. God, the Holy Spirit, you are amazing. God the Holy Spirit's implantation, commission, application, and operational work causes things to happen. That's energia, my fellow disciples. Power in action. It's God the Holy Spirit's activity and operation working in flawless efficiency. That's the plain old truth. And finally, this amazing testimony of God. It's Acts 2, titled The Day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, God said the day of Pentecost had come. Sounds like God had the day of Pentecost in his predetermined plan, and the new converts didn't. They were all together. Don't think anyone was saying that day, "Nah, I don't feel like going and gathering with them today." No, 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 my fellow disciples. God the Holy Spirit was moving even to have them all together. God the Holy Spirit fills the whole house. God completely fills your essence with their presence in the Spirit. Like the house in the physical, it's you in the essence in the spiritual. Sounds like it's good to be in the immediate proximity when God is conducting a collective. Now, many are confused with speaking in tongues, but God said other tongues, which meant, if you read Acts 2, there were people from various parts of the world. How else do you think God's gospel was going to spread? And now here are some men that only spoke the Hebrew language. So if it's today, cogitate on it this way. So God wants, desires for his word to spread. So here's a collection of people. Now the people who are going to speak only speak English, yet filled with God the Holy Spirit and God giving them utterance. One was speaking Spanish, one French, one German, one Swahili, one Indonesian, one Mandarin, one Hindi, and one Japanese, and the languages throughout. These men, like all disciples, are vessels of God for the gospel to be preached. Each group hear God's word in the language that they were born with. There's no misunderstandings. There's no mispronounced words. There's no misinterpretation. They heard it in the language they knew. Now, it may sound strange to someone else, but it's language nonetheless. And another example of other tongue, it would be the same as the tongue that constantly had profanity as its dialect, spewing evil words, lying constantly. And now, by the power and work of God the other Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, giving utterance, this tongue in this new man is now proclaiming God's word and truths in another tongue. Praise God! Can anyone testify to this miraculous work of God's truth and work within themselves? Why do you think God gave a visual to all the attendees to confirm his spiritual implantation work in that house on the day of Pentecost? Because he didn't have to. Why did he? Consider this. If you are in attendance, how would you know for sure what God has completed in you actually happened to the person that was right next to you or across from you? You're looking around in amazement as to what you're witnessing. And then reality sets in that this work of God that's happening all around you is also happening to you, my fellow disciples. You should be on fire if God's Spirit is living and working in you. You should not be a drudge or a drum or a down and out because of the lack of power. And if you know and your essence has changed, no need to wonder about your neighbor. They are changed by God as well. God's work removes all doubt. That's the plain old truth. God's salvation work is a sudden event in the new convert's life. And you must believe, if you do desire, then God had already moved in you to create that desire. That's the plain old truth. These testimonies of God the Holy Spirit's work in the physical realm is the evidence of God's pure, spiritual, divine power. And all accounts reveal a common thread: movement. And rest assured, my fellow disciples, if God moves in the physical, then they move in the spiritual. That's the plain old truth. Listen, and I will describe what we would call, in today's vernacular, God the Holy Spirit's job description, if you will. He is the possessor of the power. And yet today, in this quote-unquote Christian culture and ecumenical community, God the Holy Spirit does not seem to get the adoration he is so deserving of for all the work he performs in every disciple 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. First, you must know and believe he is God. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And as God, in his work as a functioning member of the Godhead Trinity, he helps, seals, guards, counsels, grants salvation, guides, intercedes, regenerates, baptizes, convicts, provides power, reveals, indwells, advocates, sanctifies, prays, lives, comforts, witnesses, inspires, testifies, leads, gives gifts, and teaching. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you the truth. Without God the Holy Spirit's occupation, his presence and work in you, you are not saved and incapable of possessing the evidence of his work and entering into the kingdom of God. That's the plain old truth. And I'll remind you, remember what God has said. If you hear contrary to this truth of God, test that spirit to confirm they are from God, and proceed watchfully. Amen? And the reason God commands their disciple to test the spirits is first and foremost. Many false prophets have gone out into the world, and based on what you have heard today, what kind of spirit would they have? Because if you look at spirituality with an NGA mindset, it's either the spirit of truth taking up residency or the spirit of the world that already has its place. No gray area. In this sin-infested snake pit, you have children of God or children of the devil, NGA. Spend some time reading, studying, and meditating on 1 Corinthians 2, 1 John 3, and 4. Those are chapters, chapter 3 and 4. Matthew 24 and 2 Peter 2. And I pray that you will trust completely in the Helper that can teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that Jesus has said to you. And the all that Jesus has said are the words he has whispered in your spirit, because God the Holy Spirit is the conduit. And where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, too. Yes, I am coming quickly. And that, my fellow disciples, would be from one end to the other and everything in between in God's word. Amen. As we head back up, take this with you. God the Holy Spirit makes you alive just like he did Jesus and Lazarus and everyone else. His work is to unite and sanctify Jesus' disciples to be conformed into Jesus' image. That's your Romans 8. Your sanctification, development, growth, and progress is at the sole direction of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual gifts and talents and abilities and capabilities for the service to the only true God and His church, saints, and humanity. He bestows the wisdom of God into all of Jesus' disciples. God the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Do you wonder why you move? Because God thinks it. That's why you move. And if the Spirit is living in you, you move. He creates the desire to read, study, and meditate on God's living and active word. How else could you preach the gospel if you don't know His word? God the Holy Spirit provides Jesus' disciples with power to crucify your fleshly sinful desires through conviction, and the spiritual ability to say no when carried away and enticed by your own lust. You can only be righteous when God the Holy Spirit lives in your essence. He examines your heart and helps you with your weakness, incapacities, hindrances, and frailties. God the Holy Spirit is a person and not a force. As God and a functioning member of the Godhead, He can be grieved and even lied to, but never outrun or overrun. He has a genuine personality and individuality and possesses His own mind, emotions, and will. You cannot act on Jesus' words without the occupation of God the Holy Spirit. And remember, He helps, seals, guards, counsels, grants salvation, guides, intercedes, regenerates, baptizes, convicts, provides power, leads, reveals, indwells, advocates, sanctifies, lives, comforts, witnesses, prays, inspires, testifies, gives gifts, and teaches. You walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of your flesh. And without God the Holy Spirit's occupation, you know His presence and work, you're not saved and incapable of possessing the evidence of God's spiritual eternal work and entering into the kingdom of God. And that is the truth, because the author and perfecter of our faith says so. That's the plain old truth. Let me pray for you. Abba, I love you and I thank you for today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Abba, I am truly humbled by the truth and understanding of who you are. I am so thankful for you illuminating my mind with your truth. I know how I was on the day you saved me from the physical and spiritual death. I remember you saying, "You don't have time." I know what happened to me when your Spirit entered into my essence, when your marvelous light pierced my spiritual darkness. I lift up those you have designed and designated to hear by the power of your Spirit within your predetermined plan and foreknowledge. I know there are those in which your Spirit has moved and created a desire to know you, and you have opened their heart to receive the testimony of your gospel, and your Spirit has yet to fall upon them. I pray that your Spirit comes upon them today, so their life will be forever changed, and they too will become a useful instrument for your kingdom plan of redemption. Oh, how I love how you created this opportunity to testify of your miraculous power that's at work in a wretch like me. A spiritual work that was well beyond my capabilities. And I know by the power of your Holy Spirit, your work is accomplished by your word that does not return to you empty without accomplishing what you desire, without succeeding in the manner for which you sent it. It truly amazes me that your words proceed from my mouth, because you have written them on the tablet of my heart. bring forth your spirit today and invade someone's darkness today, so that they will proclaim the excellencies of him who called them out of darkness into your marvelous light. I thank you for today. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to preach the good news. I thank you for your spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, you are amazing. Lord, I ask that you inspire those who stand in the front to proclaim your word and truths, that they will also depend on your spirit for all truth, and the words that proceed out of their mouth will be pleasing to your ears, that they will proclaim you and for who you are and what you will do in your kingdom plan of redemption. The only true God, the source of life. I thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have a great day of worship and keep walking the way.